Hear these words. God loves you just as you are, no matter what. Now act like you know that. As Archbishop Rowan Williams said recently in one of his lectures at Swanee, you may now take out your electronic devices and tune me out. The same is true now. That is, if you heard and understood that God loves you just as you are, no matter what, and are ready to act in response to that. If that's the case, then the rest of my sermon may seem redundant. For many of us, it's very difficult to wrap our minds and hearts around the fact that God loves us just the way we are, and that we are okay in God's eyes, no matter what. And that goes for every other person that has been created in the image of God, which is every other person. We may go so far as to understand the first half, that we are beloved and treasured by God, but we may forget or not even know how to act in response to that, to act out of love. The parable that Jesus tells to the good and upstanding churchgoers does little to clarify this. In many ways, this parable that at face value seems pretty straightforward, on deeper consideration, is much more tricky. This parable, like so many others, at first glance appears to be a straight path from point A to point B, when it's much more like a maze, in fact. In a maze, one wrong turn can land you at a dead end. A correct path will draw you deeper to the center. Being led deeper is the first part of the maze puzzle, but more difficult may be remembering the paths that were taken so you can reverse the direction and lead yourself back out again, rather than wandering aimlessly in circles. As we go deeper into the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, we see the path to understanding can lead to dead ends, or allow us to get closer to the heart of Jesus' teaching, closer to experiencing the message of God's deep, unwavering love. If we're not careful in our assessment of what this parable is actually trying to show us, we can become trapped in the outer edges and never find our way to the center. So let's put this story in a more current framework. Two men went to church on a Sunday morning, a bishop and a mob boss. Actually, let's say the Archbishop of Canterbury and Tony Soprano. The bishop was standing by himself praying like this: God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, ne'er-do-wells, adulterers, or even like this mob boss. I fast more than is required. I give a tenth of my income. But Tony Soprano is standing far off, would not even look up toward God. He was beating his chest because he felt so guilty and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. And the immediate and natural takeaway from this parable is I need to be more like Tony Soprano. Or in the original story, the tax collector. And on one level, that's right. Humility before God is the right attitude. Jesus said that to the gathered crowd. On another level, thinking that we should be more like a mob boss becomes the dead end and the first wrong turn in the maze. What we need to pay careful attention to is the fact that Tony Soprano is not a good guy. He is not an upstanding citizen. He smokes expensive Cuban cigars, pays for women to be in his company, then discards them like trash, drinks only the finest scotch in great excess. And while enjoying Cuban cigars and drinking nice scotch, in moderation, is not worthy of a confessional. This man treats women like toys. His business dealings are crooked. His practices corrupt. And he has people killed in a breath without batting an eye. There's no way we should aspire to be like this guy. We hope that after he confessed his sins before God in the temple or church, that he left a new man, gave up his previous life, turned over a new leaf. But we don't know that at all. What we know is that in that moment, in the temple with his eyes facing down and his posture of remorse and submission, he knew his place before God. He knew that he had not lived like he should, that nothing about his life showed that he was loved. Nothing mirrored his belovedness to those in his world. But this corrupt man, who might be referred to as a menace to society, trusted that God is loving, that God still loved him no matter what, that if he repented, he would be forgiven. He knew that he needed God's forgiveness. He knew that on his own he had made a mess of his life and that only God could redeem that mess he had made. The archbishop, on the other hand, thinks that he needs nothing from God, wants nothing of God, other than perhaps a slap on the back and God's approval. The archbishop is a good man. He's done nothing wrong. Actually, he's done more than was asked. The problem in this instance is that the archbishop didn't rely on God. He relied on his own ability to do what needs to be done. He believes that his virtue is his own. He claims full credit for his goodness and offers nothing of himself to God. Here's the conundrum. There's a good man who relies on himself and a bad man who relies on God. Is one better than the other? The hard truth is that they're both human and have made mistakes, and God loves them both. But one comes before God realizing his need for God and seeking God's grace, and the other has forgotten that need. The amazing reality of this conundrum is that each is equally loved. And that's quite obviously God's crazy economy and not ours. One of my favorite prayers is the prayer that we pray each time we gather, the Collect of Purity. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. In this prayer, we're reminded that we are fully known by God. Our hearts are open, our desires are known, and no secrets are hidden. Our faults, our mistakes, our shortcomings, our lies, our deceits, our joys, our yearnings, what we hold dear and what we hold in contempt are all known by God. And still, we are loved beyond measure. The catch may come that we are to act like it. We are to live like it. We are to love in just that same way. Does that mean that we turn a blind eye to deviant and destructive behavior? Absolutely not. Does that mean that we can live with reckless abandon, not caring about ourselves or others or our community or the world? No. If we realize the gift that we've been given, if we believe that we are loved to the core of our being, then we realize we must care deeply for ourselves, for others, for our community, and for the world. We know that on our own we tend to make a mess of things. But with God, all things are possible. When we remember that, even the most dire situation can be turned around. Even a Tony Soprano can be made a righteous man, having come before God, trusting in God's goodness and mercy, and knowing that God is always willing to forgive and set us right again. God loves you, no matter what. Go out there and act like it. Amen.